Well, it looks like a weeper gang up here tonight, but what a joy to see your own family serving the Lord. As Rob mentioned, I wasn't expecting to be up here, but that's okay. If that's the Lord's will, then that's okay. On my brother was in contact with a person with COVID this week in the shop, so he felt that he'd better not come, which probably was wise. I'd like to mention too, some of you know the Oldengarms, and Herman has been in the hospital. He's still in the hospital. He had a heart attack, and he is hoping to get home tomorrow. It was a light heart attack, but they would appreciate our prayers. Tonight, I would like to continue our study in the about the resurrections that are ahead of us yet. Should I put this over further? I'll try it on here. I did one message on the resurrection of the believers, which is right here at the end of the church age. And there's going to be another one here. And that's what I would like to talk about. There's going to be another one here later on. And so we'll talk about this, the differences. How do we know that these aren't all the same? There's a lot of differences in these resurrections. And we will look at some of those. And then what does that mean to me or to us? I have quite a few scriptures that talk about this resurrection. There's Matthew 25, there is Mark 13, there's Luke 21, there's Thessalonians chapter 2, there's Revelations 19 in the first part of 20, there's Joel chapter 3, there's Zacharias chapter 12, Acts chapter 1. All of these talk about this resurrection here. As we talked about the resurrection of the believer, what an exciting thing. We thought a lot about that tonight, and we're all looking ahead to that cry when the dead in Christ shall rise in the twinkling of an eye with glorified bodies and forever be with the Lord. When they're gone, the believers are gone, I don't have time to read all of these scriptures which I mentioned. I think I'll read the one in Revelations. It is the one that gives the most details, and I might refer to some of the others as we don't have time for them all. But let's turn to Revelations chapter 19 and verse 11. At this time, and a lot of these other scriptures do the same thing, they talk about a terrible time of God's judgment coming. And at the end of that judgment, it is that judgment that turns the Jews back to God and makes them ready to receive their Messiah. And then he comes and delivers them and sets up his kingdom on the earth here. And so up to this point, this terrible time of judgment has come to an end. And in heaven, the bride is married to the Lord Jesus, the church, the bride of Christ, of the Lamb. And marriage takes place, and it's married to the Christ. The church is married to Christ. And then the bride comes back with Christ to the world. And this is when this resurrection, the second resurrection, happens. Verse 11 of Revelation 19. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowl that fly in the midst of heaven, Come, gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast, and the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse, and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth. And all the fowls were filled with their flesh. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their forehead or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So far, the reading, we will stop at that point. I would like to go back here to the beginning and kind of go through this, and we'll bring other scriptures in here as we go along. Here we have the Lord Jesus coming back with his bride. And that's very clear from verse 8. We have the marriage in verse 7, and in verse 8, it was the bride of Christ that was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. And here we have the armies which were in heaven following him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. We have the bride here following the Lord Jesus, coming with him. And he comes to the earth. Some of these other scriptures are very interesting and add a lot in here. Acts chapter 1, verse 9 to 12, and Zacharias chapter 12, 1 to about 15 talks about this, how that the Jewish nation or Jews are just ready to be wiped out, and that all the kings of the earth all gather together against them. And here we have it here in Revelations verse 18, that they're all gathered against the Jews. They want to wipe them out. But this is the last straw. They look to their Messiah, and he comes, and he fights against these armies. And in Joel, it tells us where this is going to take place. It's in the Valley of Jehoshaphat, and that is between the Mount of Olives and Jerusalem. And as the Lord comes down, they forget about the Jews, and all the armies of the whole world turn against the Lord Jesus. But they're no match. In Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it tells us, I'll refer to it for time's sake, it tells us that when he comes back, he's going to destroy the Antichrist with the brightness of his coming and with the breath of his mouth. When he, the sword out of his mouth, I know a lot of scholars believe that means what he'll say. He'll destroy them with the words of his mouth. His brightness is that Zacharias tells us that when he comes and faces all the armies of the world that are gathered together, this last battle in the latter days, that they will be standing on their feet, and the brightness of Christ, uncreated light, they're going to disintegrate. Their eyes will disintegrate in their eye holes, and their tongues in their mouth, and they'll just burn up. We cannot in these bodies stand before God. He is way, way beyond us, and his light is so pure and bright, it would burn us up, and it will burn up his enemies at that time. And as that all happens, the beast, the Antichrist, and his false prophet, which we read about in chapter 13 of Revelations, they are taken and cast alive into the lake of fire. After 1,000 years, we read that they're still there and still alive in the torment of the lake of fire. But anyway, they're cast into the lake of fire, and the armies are destroyed that are the enemies of the Lord. And then the Lord goes about to set up his kingdom. And an angel comes down, has a key to the bottomless pit. We don't know exactly what that all is or means, but there's a place of confinement. And this angel has the key to that. And this angel lays hold on the devil and puts him in there, that he cannot deceive the nations anymore. We heard about the Garden of Eden tonight. It was Satan who deceived Eve. He didn't deceive Adam, but Adam sinned. And he was really blamed for it. He should have stopped Eve, but he didn't. But Satan deceived. And oh, today, how much deception there is. We need to be on guard. There is only one way that we can be really on guard against Satan's deceptions, and that is the Word of God. Get to know the Bible. It is the only way that we can fight against Satan's deceptions. He is extremely brilliant and wise, and he is a master liar and deceiver. And here we see in the book of Revelations, and in this last battle, he is such a mighty deceiver that the battle, the ones the Lord destroys, the blood flows the highest of horses' bridle for about 200 miles. There will be so many that are slain in that time because Satan deceived them. What a warning for us. But in this time, Satan is not going to deceive in those 1,000 years. He will be bound. You know, Satan deceives Christians as well as non-Christians. Many times a Christian makes a wrong choice because of Satan's work and his deception. But he is bound. He's put in the bottomless pit. And the Lord goes about to set up his kingdom here. And thrones are set. And they sit upon the thrones. And judgment is given unto them. I personally believe that's the church. He tells us that as the bride of Christ, we're going to rule with him. We're going to reign with him. And these first are mentioned here, that these thrones are set and judgment is given. And then something wonderful happens here. The souls of those that went through that terrible time, the tribulation period, right here, 7 years, Daniel's 70th week, there will be many, many, many martyred for the Lord Jesus. They will not receive the mark of the beast, but they will be true to God, and they'll be beheaded, it says. And those souls are raised to life, given new bodies, and raised to life. And they as well have the privilege of reigning with Christ those 1,000 years. And then as everything, there's so much could be said about that time. There's so many scriptures. It's an exciting time for believers. Oh, the joy. It's just one of the joys before us. If we belong to the Lord Jesus, if we've trusted him to reign with him through that exciting time. But the 1,000 years are going to carry on. Some of the things just quickly mentioned, I talked to the young people about this. One of the things is an infant of days, a person who's called an infant, if he sins, God, the Lord's going to rule with a rod of iron. Sin will be judged right away. But if an infant sins, a 100-year-old person is an infant in those days, he will be judged by the Lord. But it'll show that people will live through those 1,000 years without any trouble. And when the 1,000 years are done, Satan's loosed. And here is another big warning. Those that don't have the Lord, that were born in these 1,000 years and never accepted the Lord Jesus as their Savior, never trusted him, they're going to listen to Satan. And we read about a great host coming against the holy city, Jerusalem. Gog and Magog, it says, from over the whole world at that time. It is at that time fire comes down. At that time, the earth and heaven pass away and are burned up. And that brings us to the next resurrection, which I'm not going to go into tonight. It's an awesome resurrection. It's called the Great White Throne Judgment. But I would like to go back to Matthew 25 and read that portion and just show you how different this resurrection is from the resurrection of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, when only believers in the Lord Jesus rise and meet him in the air. It's Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 to 46. Falls into about three pieces. I've had trouble with it before I came up here. Okay, I think we're going again. Matthew 25, verse 31 to 46. And this is again talking about the tribulation period in Matthew 24. And at the end of the tribulation period is where we are coming in, and that is right here. We're reading right here what's happening right there on the timeline. Verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was anhungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, ye clothed me. I was sick, ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee anhungered, and fed thee, and thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was anhungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him and say, Lord, when saw we thee anhungered, or thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer and them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Here the Lord is coming back, as I said, here, right after the tribulation period, to set up his thousand-year reign, the millennial reign. And it says, first of all, the first difference is the bride of Christ is with him. He is not alone. When he comes the first time, the bride of Christ is not with him. He calls her up to him in the air, and she meets him in the air, and it does not say he comes back to this earth at that point. In fact, Revelations clearly shows the bride's in heaven through the tribulation period. But here, the Lord comes back with his bride. And all these other references I mentioned clearly state that at the end, the whole world is going to come to Jerusalem against it, to destroy it and put it away. And at that time, the Lord will come Zacharias tells us his feet are going to stand on the Mount of Olives, and Acts 1, 9 to 12 tells us that. And when he stands on the Mount of Olives and comes to this earth and destroys that army that's an enemy to him, and then there's going to be a judgment. That is not at the first coming. There's no judgment there. Here, people, there's no resurrection here. At this point, it says nothing about people that are raised, that are judged here. It just talks that there's going to be those people that are left, that weren't destroyed. They're going to face a judgment here. It's not a judgment about how much good they did or not. It's a judgment clearly stating here how did they treat his people, the Jews. And those nations that were favorable to them and ministered to them, I think there is a message for us here too. I do not want to overlook this. I believe there is a message. If we do something to one of God's children, he takes note and we'll receive a reward. I really believe that. But here I do believe it's talking, especially at this time when Jesus comes down to the earth to set up his kingdom, the first thing is this judgment of the nations. It calls it, that gathered all nations before him, and he divides them. And those that are his enemies go into everlasting judgment. Into that thousand-year kingdom at that time, there will be all righteous people. Those that are righteous go into the kingdom and enjoy the kingdom with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then some of the other differences here. Only in the one, in the first resurrection, only those that are in Christ are raised. And here, well, if we go on a little later, Revelations shows us this, that as Christ sets up his kingdom, that only those who went through the tribulation period and that were martyred, only those are raised. No one else is raised. It says, the rest of the dead lived not again until the thousand years were done. Only those are raised here in Revelations 20, and the ones that lost their lives, and they go and they reign with Christ. In the other resurrection here in Thessalonians chapter 4, there's no kingdom set up. The Lord comes, his bride is gone in the twinkling of an eye, no kingdom set up. But here, the Lord Jesus sits on the throne and will set up the kingdom that was promised to David. And this kingdom is going to go on into the new heaven and the new earth. And then, as I mentioned, the bride is with him here. It comes with him. We have that mentioned in Zacharias chapter 14 or 12. Also in the book of Jude. I didn't write down the verse. And also in 1 Thessalonians, or here in Revelations, we have also that the bride is going to come back with him. And you know, I want to say something here. Christ is a mighty king. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. But that isn't what should excite us the most. That is not what we should be really talking about. He is our bridegroom. We are looking for him to come to take us home to be his bride. He will be the king later on, and we will be with him and enjoy that. But we have a very, very special privilege of being chosen the time that the prophets did not see, Ephesians 3 tells us that, they did not see that because of the Jews' rejection of the Messiah, that they were going to be set aside for a time. And in that time, God was going to call out a group of people of the Gentiles to be the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're in that age right now, which is the church age. And we have a very special privilege. He's coming back for his bride next, not to set up his kingdom. Although that will be an exciting time, and we look ahead to that as well. Then the resurrection of the dead, which I mentioned already as well. It's only those who came through the tribulation period and did not receive the mark of the beast, and they were killed for their faith. It's those that are raised to dead from the dead. The rest of the dead are not raised again, so there's only a partial resurrection here again. And the next resurrection is most awesome and most saddening. What does this mean to us? You might wonder, well, why? I think, first of all, it helps us understand the Bible better if we rightly divide the word of truth. But it also means something very, very solemn. Kings, nations, human beings are not going to get away with their sins. God will come in judgment. We need to think, how are we living? Do we know God's word? Are we walking according to God's word? There is great promises and great joy promised to those that walk according to his word. And we need to search and let the Holy Spirit make his word alive in our hearts. But I want to say something else to each person here. If you don't know Jesus, you're going to be raised here from the dead. You're going to be at the great white throne judgment. It's quite clear there's only unbelievers at that judgment. And that judgment is forever. It's an awful judgment. It's a judgment that God will deal righteously with the sins of those that have not been covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus. If you've never trusted Jesus or asked him to save you, do it tonight. Jesus could come tonight. Something could happen. You could lose your life. We've had a number of accidents in the last few months, and fortunately, nobody has got very badly hurt, although Ada is hurt bad enough. But all, we don't know how long we have. If we're taken out of this life, then we will be at the great white throne judgment. And that one is forever. The words spoken off of that throne are forever. Never change. I warn you, if you don't know Jesus, come and talk to us. Or talk to your mom and dad. And accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior. And then you can look ahead to being with him and growing in him and be pleasing to him. This time I'm going to close in a word of prayer, and then the chairman can come back. Heavenly Father, you are a great God. We sang that dear Sunday school song that we've learned so long ago. And we forget that so often. But as we walk this world and gaze into the sky, into eternity, we begin to realize how small we are and how big you are. And oh, Lord, For your great love, we thank you. We thank you for the promises you've given to your children that they will be with you someday and reign with you and rejoice together. All those that are yours will be there in a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness forever. And oh, we pray if there's someone here that has never trusted you as their Savior, they might be spared that great judgment at the great white throne and be saved. We just cry to you. We think again of those that are not well. May you be near them. Pray for the Oldengarms. We thank you that he has recovered well. Pray they can soon be home again together. We do commit them to you. So we ask these things. May you take us home in safety, and may we remember we belong to you and to honor and serve you this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.